What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's the Fightful Weekly Report podcast, or whatever the hell you want to call this show at this point. I'm not too married to it. Let's go ahead, get into the news. We have a Q&A today as well. Lots to talk about the Raw, SmackDown, NXT changes, and everything that we're going to see there. So we noted last week that SmackDown was getting a new theme song. They ended up getting Megan Thee Stallion, which is, you know, very, very big, especially for mainstream crossover appeal. They had really leaned on Def Rebel stuff for quite some time. With the move to USA, they decided to do something a little more resembling their first few years on Fox. They had the AC/DC Are You Ready song. But for the last like 10 years outside of that, they largely leaned on Def Rebel or CFOs. Now, there are already changes to the USA Network, CW, Switch, Swap, all that. So for the last number of years, SmackDown has had to get off the air by about 9:57 Eastern. Now, this is so they could get off of the air for the local news. CW does air local news, so that's something that NXT might be subjected to. However, USA Network and SmackDown will not be, and we had posted ahead of Friday's premiere that this could lead to the first overruns on SmackDown in over 5 years now, and that's what we saw first night, an overrun there. Now, it's not hard and fast. They're not going to always get it, but WWE Raw doesn't get one. NXT had got one to the point to where it was almost scheduled in. So now you're going to have to see NXT be a little bit more tight on their timing as opposed to previous years. That's going to be a pretty significant change that I think could affect NXT. You might see some shows go off the air like just a fraction of a second, or you know, maybe a few seconds earlier than what they needed to or what they should have. We saw that with Raw a couple weeks ago. Or maybe about a month ago with the Dominic Liv kiss, but that's going to be a change that we see. As a promotional tool, USA Network sent out promo packages to a number of influencers and streamers as well. This is common for debuts of shows on networks. Once upon a time, there was a wrestling-themed funeral parlor show that actually ended up sending out shovels. We're told that the Performance Center shows for NXT are not expected to be done, and by that I mean they're going to continue to do those, so that they're not finished with those. For those asking, commercials have always been planned for WWE Raw on Netflix. There's some engagement accounts pretending that they weren't, and they just had no insight on that situation. Regarding the 2 or 3 hour show moving forward for each individual brand, there was a time slot listing that indicated SmackDown might be 3 hours or something. WWE quickly told me that no, it's going to stay 2 hours. However, when I asked about Raw and what time they would see moving into 2025, I didn't get a committed answer there. So to clarify that, WWE announced that Raw would be 2 hours from October through the end of the year. They didn't say anything about next year on Netflix, anything like that. They didn't say, we're going back to 3 hours or it's staying 2 hours. It's just what people have assumed. WWE has not nailed that down to me personally yet. That doesn't mean that they're going one way or another. It just means that I don't have that information specifically at this moment. Last week's Raw and SmackDown, lots of members of the Hart family were there. Bret Hart was a little bit under the weather just before the show, but ended up being okay and ended up being able to work. It was up in the air there briefly, but he ended up being okay. Natalya was not hidden before the show or anything like that. She was there. Visited with everybody, was sort of helping running point for a lot of her family as well. There were no plans for Vicky Guerrero, Rob Van Dam, Ron Simmons, Teddy Long to be used regularly going forward, even though they were featured on SmackDown. The reason why some of those people were there, Michael Hayes, Bobby Roode, they are producers there. Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, Damian Priest were all at SmackDown to work dark matches, which is why they were shown on TV. Roman Reigns wasn't listed on rundowns, but like everybody knew he was going to be there. They weren't going to have the premiere of SmackDown without him there. Ricky Gibson of Midnight Heat was the partner of Kevin Owens until he got stunned. They're going to face FTR later this month. A lot of buzz for that. Prestige seemed very happy about that ahead of that match. The Michin Piper Niven match was originally supposed to get several more minutes before it got cut for time on SmackDown. CM Punk was always scheduled to be off for the September 9th episode of WWE Raw. A little bit of writer news. Alexander Williams was credited with the writing the Drew McIntyre, Wade Barrett, Adam Pearce segment. She was seen backstage with Stephanie McMahon on the WWE draft episode of Raw earlier this year. Regarding the graphic going around about WWE salaries, literally none of those numbers are accurate. None of them. There is no comprehensive list that has ever been released by an outlet like that that is accurate. There have been some lawsuit numbers from WCW that revealed payroll and salary. Those are accurate. However, if you ever see one of those graphics that say highest paid WWE wrestlers with some exorbitant amount, those are not accurate. Some more AEW news and notes. Yuka Sakazaki returned this past weekend. She was at the tapings last week, obviously. She was there around All Out to get checked out and to get approved, get cleared to return to the ring. Charlotte Renegade, who we had said was backstage a couple months ago, was also backstage at last week's AEW tapings in Lexington. We're told that she is hopefully closer to getting cleared for a return. Alexis Littlefoot worked a dark match ahead of AEW Dynamite, losing to Nyla Rose. Lord Crew and Luke Curtis, who are also very prevalent in the area, worked the Dynamite tapings as well. The Outrunners also got a great ovation at AEW Dynamite. They have worked a lot of OVW over the last few years. Not saying that's necessarily what got them the pop. They're just over. But a lot of people were very, very happy there for that. MLW news. Air Paris was at the Atlanta tapings this past weekend. He was both watching the show and visiting backstage. There was also JBL making an appearance there. He's been popping up a little bit of everywhere. And as best I know, he does not have a WWE contract. I was told that was considered like a hell freezing over moment within MLW. They had had a lot of issues in the past, but everything seems to be on the up and up with them now. The drummer from Widespread Panic was also ringside at MLW. They had some very quick back and forth to get Mystico there to that show, and he went on his run during the tournament over the weekend. I know that's something they kind of wanted to pull off from an impressive standpoint, get him from Mexico, get him back to MLW, do their spots there. MLW recently did site surveys in Toronto, Boston, and San Francisco for possible 2025 locations as well. GCW, they are working to put together a fan fest type event, I'm told. They're working to finalize that as well. TNA had their highest U.S. attendance of the year in San Antonio. They were very, very proud of that. Also, an AEW note, they had considered doing a casino battle royale last week before they ended up settling on the casino gauntlet. News on Charlotte Flair. There were reports coming out that there had been creative plans set for her. I don't know if it was imminently or just in the future, but we're told she is not cleared as of yet. She had a major injury back in December that affected her meniscus, her ACL, and MCL. And even though that she said that she was back or ahead of schedule in February, they at least weren't expecting her back soon as of late August. AEW is not expecting Matt Riddle at all. Tony Khan has been against bringing in Matt Riddle. There have been not many instances where AEW talent have ended up working Matt Riddle on the independent circuit either. He spoke with Steve Muehlhausen of SI and said that he talked to Tony and said, don't know if he liked me, seemed happy, wrestled Zack Sabre Jr., seemed cool about it, but seemed very odd. Yeah, there have been no plans to bring Matt Riddle into AEW. That's something I had heard quite a while back. Don't know if it's a personal thing. Don't know if it's just a preference thing or a don't want to do that thing. Fightful Select last week reported that the Hurt Syndicate, a.k.a. the Hurt Business, had been in talks with All Elite Wrestling. We're told that some of those talks were happening even over AEW All Out weekend, but that no deal was done as of last weekend. Bobby Lashley's deal with WWE had expired. MVP and Shelton Benjamin are also free agents. Shelton Benjamin is somebody that Tony Khan and AEW have had interest in for quite some time, and a lot of ideas have been kicked around. There were no plans to have them involved in the Tag Team Casino Gauntlet. As mentioned, they had kind of decided the direction they were going to go there regardless. But there have been discussions and even plans for the Hurt Business to continue as a group outside of WWE. Now, again, I don't know if it'd be called the Hurt Syndicate, Hurt Enterprises, Hurt Business. I don't think the Hurt Business, but there are some talks ongoing. We'll do our best to follow up on that. Well, we followed up on MGK and Randy Orton, and listen, all I can say is that I haven't heard of anybody that actually saw MGK curse out Randy Orton. Now, we saw the Xavier Woods post saying if anybody did that to Randy Orton would probably make sure they weren't around to tell the story. And MGK says that he saw Randy Orton, saw that Orton was talking shit about him, and went to him and said, fuck you. I talked to people who even had access to footage that MGK said to review, and based on the people that I talked to, they didn't see an interaction such as that. Now, the people that I were talking to were saying, maybe he's working, or maybe he thought it got caught by cameras and it didn't. But anybody who has asked Randy Orton about the situation, he has just outright said it didn't happen. Daniel Garcia, I want to give credit to Abu of WrestlePurist. He had noted on Saturday after AEW All Out that originally Garcia was considered for the win at All Out. However, due to Daniel Garcia not signing a new contract, the result was changed. Fightful Select was able to confirm both of those, that Garcia was considered for the win, and that AEW and those inside AEW say that he has not signed a new deal. Garcia has been offered a new deal, Fightful Select was able to confirm, and the company was hopeful that he'd sign before All Out. That didn't happen. I know there were some people in high places that were very much encouraging him to and telling him that they wanted him to stay there, but that hasn't been the case. He hasn't put pen to paper, or at least as of then didn't. I don't know how things have unfolded since then. He was not on last week's tapings or anything like that. He was still making the media rounds ahead of All Out for AEW as well. The Vince docuseries drops next Wednesday. I will be on a plane headed to New York. I'm going to try to put together some sort of content, some sort of reaction to it. I'm going to do my best to download it and watch it on the plane as I head there. WrestleNomics posted that the final episode of the series would cover McMahon's lawsuit alleging a number of sexual misconduct claims and would also be addressed at the top of the show. WWE sources that Fightful Select spoke to believe this was to establish, to help take heat away from people who may speak of Vince McMahon glowingly in interviews that were recorded ahead of the allegations. One WWE talent of over a decade said, quote, I don't think at this point anyone should care about the life and times of Vince McMahon above the legal situation he's in, end quote. Now, everybody that I spoke to is condemning Vince McMahon. They want to wash their hands of Vince McMahon. Now, of course, they're going to say that to me, because if I go out there and report, yeah, there were some people that were still kind of putting over Vince and still defending Vince, obviously that doesn't look good. So they've got no real incentive to say anything otherwise to a person like me. Fightful did reach out to Janelle Grant's spokesperson about her inclusion or lack thereof, and we're told, quote, Netflix documentary group made an initial outreach to Janelle's representation for an interview for this project. Despite this, no such interview came to fruition, end quote. Now, I asked specifically for more detail on the phrasing of not coming to fruition. Specifically, I wanted to know, were there negotiations for this to happen? Were there editorial issues? Were there editing issues? Like, what caused this initial outreach to happen and then no interview to come to fruition? Did they not follow up? What happened here? And we did not get further explanation on that. Those that we spoke to in WWE believed that the trailer was set up specifically to get people talking and have Vince McMahon say, I'm not a bad guy, blah, 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 blah. WWE has not commented in any official capacity on the docuseries trailer. Last week, we had a bunch of news on AEW, WBD, and Fox. Speculation ran rampant over the weekend that the possibility of AEW programming also appearing on other networks could happen. To be clear, we heard about the WBD-AEW deal being very close to being done, but even as of then, I was told it wasn't completed. Then other people said it's a formality, they're preparing some materials, stuff like that. I do know one thing. There was a new deal sent to AEW after the Paris Olympics, and it was very hefty, and they had to review it. And I mean hefty as in like physically hefty. They had to have a lot of people review that WBD reps said that talks are ongoing and amicable. Both sides expect the deal to be done. Then you got Fox. Fox just finished up their five-year run with WWE, but might not be completely out of pro wrestling. Though the relationship did sour briefly before Vince McMahon left WWE, Fox had long looked at bringing on additional pro wrestling content. They almost landed MLW for Tubi. They had also been interested in a seasonal wrestling program for Tubi. There's been discussion backstage in AEW and within the TV world that AEW content could be headed there. This was spurned by the Shockwave trademark. Now, I want to make this clear. I don't know if the Shockwave trademark is for TV, if it's for pay-per-view, don't know. But that's what spurned this conversation, and that there could be a world where AEW content is headed to the Fox family of networks, whether it be Fox, Tubi, FS1. Andrew Zarian did an awful lot of great coverage on this on Beyond the Bell. I would encourage you guys to check that out. This would come as a major change for AEW. When they added Collision to their current WBD deal, exclusivity was worked in. That's why they couldn't have Dark or anything like that on YouTube. And that's something that they've wanted. They found that very useful. I can see a world personally, and this is opinion, where Rampage is not on WBD anymore for whatever reason. At least one source near Fox's side did claim that the two sides had contact, but when reaching out to Fox rep, they did not return our request for comment or insight. Neither side have confirmed these talks as of yet. I want to shout out Fidmic Awesome of the Down Under the Ring podcast. He sent us interviews with Tony Storm and Paul White. This is something we do sometimes. If you're able to get some interviews and you want to distribute them on Fightful, we end up working out a deal or something like that. He did a great job. The Paul White one is coming out this week. Tony Storm, they did this great editing where they turned her black and white. This was in Australia as they are promoting, obviously, the Grand Slam show in February. So keep your eye on that. Check it out. It's on our channels right now, as is the Xenia interview that Scott Edwards did with Stardom Xenia. Both of those are up on the on all of our platforms now. And you can get those early access on Tier 2 of Fightful Select. Ahead of everything. We always post our interviews early up there. So if you want to get them ahead of everybody else, check it out. Q&A time, my friends. Again, apologies, guys. Thank you for bearing with me. I have been a little out of sorts the last week and a half. Under the weather still. With NXT going to CW and commentators shifting on Raw and SmackDown, do you see the same happening on the third brand? I feel like Big E could do well as a commentator. I do see that they could probably... I see the possibility of them switching some things around, but, I mean, Big E is still on his talent contract, so if they could make use of that, I think that's quite... that's possible. That's possible. Any update on Rebel, a.k.a. Reba? Is she still under contract with AEW? Yes, she is. She's on a talent contract, and she's rarely there. She hasn't been used since 2022. Does AEW employ someone to drive Jack Perry's bus between shows, or is it loaded to their trucks? I believe it's loaded onto their trucks. Who would be your favorite? We're not using him on the main roster, so send him down to compete for the NXT title for the men. Would love to keep the belt on Ethan and Sheamus there for a run. I would love to see Sheamus there for a run. I think he should put over Pete Dunne. But like my choice would actually be a tag team. I would like to see Alpha Academy do that. I think that would be really great, because I think that they could really show something special in NXT and help out a lot of people. And Akira Tozawa could have an insane run in the ring there. Do you know if a Ricky Starks is still under contract with AEW? Yes, Ricky Starks is under contract. He also has not been backstage of late. NXT has one more PLE this year. What happened to Deadline? They could still always announce something. Who do you think Cody drops the WWE title to and when? My prediction is Jacob Fatu at SummerSlam 2025. Jacob Fatu certainly seems like the move. They're very clearly aware of what Jacob Fatu is and how well he shines and how people view him. To me, if you sort of made Cody off of Roman Reigns, and Cody was already sort of made, but you make another guy off of Cody Rhodes, you just continue it. Now, you don't have to always do that, But then at least you get into a level of comfortability where you have a bunch of guys near the top who have proven themselves as championship contenders and championship level guys. And you get to a spot where you were in 99, 2000, where you got a lot of those. Now, what you don't want to do is rest on those laurels like they did in the 2010s. Was AEW considering going to any other cities to host Grand Slam in Australia? Brisbane doesn't seem like a natural choice given the greater population and the stadiums available in Melbourne. They did site surveys for all those. They went over there and they looked at a variety of places and decided which one would be best. Worst movie you have ever seen. Sucker Punch was pretty bad, man. It was really, really bad. Usually I'll just stop watching it if it's too bad. You heard any info on WWE not continuing with Def Rebel at the end of their contract? No, I have not heard that. We've been working on a Def Rebel article for quite some time. We'll release that sooner than later when I feel comfortable with it. Any news on Jay White? Yeah, they were hoping that he would be back for All In, but he wasn't cleared. He wasn't good to go. He was having trouble being explosive off of that foot. Could you do some comprehensive breakdowns of WWE's media deals, outlining the length of contract for all the WWE library and brands, plus where and when the episodes show up after they air for each brand? Well, this is just in the States. They have next day for Hulu, but that goes to Netflix whenever their deal kicks in 2025. The SmackDown deal with Hulu has already expired. Next day streaming will move to Peacock for that. Hulu have maintained, again, their deal to stream Raw next day until the end of the year. Again, Netflix gets that. Netflix has a very extensive deal with WWE. Netflix has a 10-year deal with WWE. They have the option to cancel it after 5 years, and then they have the option to extend it for an additional 10 years. NXT to CW will be on a 5-year deal. And USA Network and SmackDown on a 5-year deal. Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers says, is there a reason why AEW won't split the roster? They have so much talent with 4 shows. Most people could get some time instead of someone on multiple shows every week. It's a scheduling thing, man. Listen, they're deep, but they're not deep at the top to do something like that. They right now do not have Adam Cole. They do not have MJF. They do not have Swerve, Kenny Omega, Samoa Joe. They have Ricky Starks issues. They had Britt Baker hasn't been around. So like they just are not in a position to do that. I have not understood this since CM Punk left. I personally do not understand why people think that a brand split would be effective when relatively nobody watches the weekend shows. What are your thoughts on the stand in the middle of the ring and trade punches spots? I liked it when it was rare. Two tough guys standing and trading. Now it's in multiple matches on many AEW shows. Now I hate it. Like, come on, it ain't just AEW. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? It is not just an AEW thing. I don't like the spot. I didn't like it when it got pitched in matches that I did. I hated doing it. But like, just AEW, come on. I saw that in New Japan many, many times for many years, and I didn't like it then. Not big on it at all. Who do you think could bench press the most in WWE and AEW? Claudio might be up there, but I mean, there's a whole lot of these wrestlers that don't do bench presses. And they say it's too dangerous, is what I learned whenever I talk to these guys about their workout regimens and stuff like that. Any updates on when Stephanie Vaquer may debut? Whenever her visa stuff gets sorted out. Do you think the AEW rights deal not being announced yet is affecting their ability to sign or recruit talent? Not a bit. Not a bit. Manuel says, is 2 hours for the rest of 2024 temporary, and then it goes back to 3 hours when the Netflix deal starts? Again, WWE has not answered me on that as of yet. As of yet, they have not answered me. Not to say that that's necessarily reflective of their plan or anything. But I did find it interesting, and how you pose the question is very important to people like that. But I said, hey, are you all going back to 3 hours once the new year starts or once Netflix starts? Didn't get an answer, but they were quick to answer on that 2-hour SmackDown thing. Hey, Sean, will Sammy Gunther be at Bad Blood or not since they've already made 5 matches for the show? Well, they're starting the show earlier. And I was told this was a fairly recent thing that they looked at, and they're like, you know, maybe we expand that a little bit. Because, like, as of like 3 weeks ago, they were not planning on expanding these shows. How far in advance is WWE and TNA book storylines? Wondering if any differences made it challenging to share wrestlers. WWE actually has let TNA know of a few people that they would like to feature and would like to use, perhaps protect and all that. I don't know how much TNA takes that into consideration, but WWE absolutely has let them know a few things. Or let them know a few people that they want to feature. Richard says, is there any chance we could see the Fightful Wrestling podcast feed integrated with the Select podcast feed with ads removed? Listen on Spotify and have to figure between the two feeds and listen to the ads on the free feed. No, we do our ad reads live. However much it would cost to hire somebody to remove those ads would not be worth whatever we would benefit from those. Our sponsors are very good to us. They're a minute long. Just skip ahead, my friends, if it's that much of an inconvenience. Any Odyssey Jones update? I think he is going to try to... So I have to be careful about how I word things. WWE has not confirmed to me that he's gone or anything like that as of yet. I know that he wants to try to preserve his reputation. I don't know what that means, though. Do you believe we'll get Keith Lee back on AEW TV this year? I do not. Between Cody and Roman, who do you think is more likely to get the Rock match at Mania? And what do you think the guy on the outside of the Rock match does there? It should be Roman versus Rock, Jacob Fatu versus Cody. That's how I'm feeling right now. Any idea if the backlash to the Roman-Cody pairing and story will be addressed in the next few weeks? I would almost guarantee it. They've gotta. They got to make sense of as much of this as possible. Any idea why Roosh appears and disappears from the Don Callis family act? He's Roosh. SRS, I know this is speculative, but you mentioned the belief is that Malakai's deal is up towards the end of the year. You think it's more likely he stays with AEW or returns to WWE? I think there's a good chance he could return to WWE. I think that'd be a good fit for him as well. After Bad Blood, do you think we will get new rivalries forward with the same five matches every week? I do. I think it's the blow off for a number of things. I think Rhea and Liv has to advance. I think Cody has to move on past the bloodline, at least briefly. And then Drew and Punk needs to end. What's going on with JBL showing up in multiple companies? He's out there just doing his thing, man. He wants to create some buzz. And he's feeling good. He's throwing his clotheslines. He's looking good doing it. It's very smart on his behalf. He is creating buzz around himself. Seems to be multiple previously high-profile wrestlers that AEW and WWE have not been using for an extended period of time who are not injured. Wouldn't it be better for companies to let them out of their contract if that's what they want so they can try to get signed elsewhere or do some more indies? How often do we actually see talent that say, I want out of my contract? We've never seen Ricky Starks say that out loud. Listen, I cover pro wrestling for a living. And in the NFL, an NBA, an MLB, if somebody wants out of their contract, they leak it to an agent or to media or somebody that they want out or that they want their release. That just doesn't happen nearly as much in pro wrestling. With a lot of these talent that are off the road. Because you know, the idea, oh yeah, sure, I'll be out there and sign a big deal is awfully nice. Then they're like, man, you know, getting paid an awful lot to chill, heal up, all that. Do you have any info on Kiana James being pulled from the active roster? Yes, she's sidelined. When UFC and others speak about the cost of running the Sphere, what exactly is due to it? Technology involved with the screen, staff needed, preparation to put the production together. For something like WWE and Mania, could any of these ever been offset by Las Vegas or a sponsor to cover some of the cost? They certainly could be offset by sponsors to some degree, but it also costs a lot to rent the damn building. Like, to even run a show there, it's very, very expensive. The word was it costs like $450K a day to just block book the exterior LED ball. So, I mean, it could cost north of $1 million just to run that venue. Has there been anything from WWE regarding the multiple lawsuits Logan Paul is in? No, they have issued no comments regarding that. Has Bo Dallas also played Uncle Howdy, even going back to the very beginning with the vignettes, or did he step in at some point? It wasn't always him. He was always planned for it. I should specify that. He was always planned for it, but there was a stand-in at some points. And there were times where they didn't have the person wearing the Uncle Howdy outfit take it off in front of other people. Any reason to expect Charlotte Flair before the Rumble? I'm personally not, but, you know, my God, man, like, it was a devastating knee injury. Has there been any info as why Wardlow hasn't been on TV? How long does he have on his contract? Don't know about his contract, but I know he was at a David Allen style event recently. I know he had a car accident earlier this year. Don't know if that sidelined him or not. You mentioned on a recent live stream that someone gifted multiple YouTube memberships. What are those and how does Fightful benefit from them? It's sort of like a little membership program on YouTube. It allows us to see your chats easier. You get basically a free super chat or two per month. And about once every week or two, I'll release like some archived or behind the scenes footage. Any word on Hikuleo's debut? I haven't heard anything regarding him lately. I just kind of forgot about him, man. No, I have not heard a peep about him. Any specific reason they did that segment on with Jericho and Collision, implying he won in Mexico? I don't have a clue. That was very confusing, man. I'm digging into that, and a couple people asked, but that was strange. Please ask TK to stop having wrestlers fight for championships when they already have one. They need to utilize more of their roster. Man, why don't you? I ask him every damn week on my show. What do you mean, please ask TK? You got a phone? What are you talking about? Send him a tweet, brother. Is there a current story that could be broken by Fightful or any other wrestling news outlet that could have the same impact as the CM Punk return of AEW WWE, with the caveat of not being related to Vince's continuous downfall? Yeah, there's always something, like some major star that could get involved in pro wrestling that could have that effect, but no, I don't think that there's anything on the horizon, but I think that there's always a possibly big story. Is the fallout regarding visas from All In the reason AR Fox has been away from AEW for so long? Well, he's not away from AEW. He still does matches. He's still featured. He's still under contract, all that stuff. It's certainly a reason why he was de-emphasized on the show. He's only worked about 15 matches since then, and I'd say about a dozen in AEW, ROH. He's not winning a lot. He did team with Commander last month on ROH and won, though. Joe Hendry at the Royal Rumble. Could it happen? Yeah, it could definitely happen. I mean, I feel like they probably should at this point if, you know, the heat stays up there. Which WWE signing excites you the most, and who has the most potential to thrive in the WWE environment to you? Julia. I have seen her do some of the best work that I've ever seen in pro wrestling with Shuri Kondo, and that was even a couple years ago. She's grown since then. We're talking like 2.5 years ago, some of these matches with Shuri. And even dating back, like I want to say 4 years ago. And those were some of my favorite matches that I've ever seen. I think that having something like that in WWE would go so long. Like, add some physicality, add some of these elements that a lot of mainstream fans don't associate with WWE women. And should. Jorge Cruz says, Sean, hoping you can clarify Danielson's status. Since AEW commentators seem to be using retirement and retirement from being a full-time competitor interchangeably, do you know which case it will be? The plan is for it to be retirement from in-ring competition full-time. And if he can, he'll do matches here and there. He doesn't have a contract. He's not expected to sign a contract. I think that he will lose the title to Mox at WrestleDream. I do think so. Maybe eventually he will return and exact revenge on BCC, but I think that would come down the line, like maybe at next year's Blood and Guts or something like that, as a surprise entry or something like that. Impact is now on NESN in New England. This might provide more eyes than Impact's own network does. Any idea how this came about? Just a deal that they work out, but it will not get them more eyes than their own network. Absolutely not. With Stokely watching tag team matches, could you see him being the manager for the Hurt Syndicate? Nope, absolutely not. Can Tony Khan buy out a contract from Stardom and get Mina and Xenia? Yeah, he could, in like theory, but I haven't heard of that being a thing. With AEW's relationship with Warner Brothers and Max getting stronger, will the new deal affect anything for international fans? In the UK, we won't get Max till 2026 at the earliest. So will anything change on the international deals? They work those out just individually. Unless they come to some big, giant, collective deal, then they'll keep re-upping their current international deals. Anything on Naomi, Tamina, or Nia joining the Bloodline? Tamina is no longer active with WWE. She is not at the shows. She is not on like internal rosters anymore. She's not wrestling anymore. 46 years old, hasn't worked in quite a while. I've heard nothing about that. Naomi had been mentioned like a long, long time ago, like before she ever came back, but I hadn't heard that that's in the plans. Is Rock expected to be at Survivor Series or is nothing set in stone? I haven't heard anything about that. What do you think about War Games replacing the traditional Survivor Series elimination tag? I feel War Games is good every once in a while, but the elimination tag is more exciting because a pin can happen anytime. I'm with you, man. There's nothing I love more, or a few things I love more, than a good elimination tag team match there. One with stakes, one that matters. Kay Frisky says, some people have confirmed Motor City Machine Guns have signed with WWE. Can you confirm? Yeah, we confirm that WWE sources claim that, at least. Is it safe to say AEW Fight Forever is finished content-wise? I would be surprised if they did any more content moving forward. When WWE comes to Netflix, do they show it everywhere or in specific countries? As of now, it's the U.S. But they will own the right to stream WWE's PLEs outside the U.S. Since the theme for SmackDown is rap, can we expect a major rock band providing Raw's theme in January? I don't know what their plans are for that. I saw a lot of people getting really, really weird. Like, come on, guys. What are we doing here? We're getting that mad over a theme song that airs for 25, 30 seconds at the start of a show for a couple of years? Like, to the point where some people were getting really, really racially motivated with some of this shit, man. Like, I'm not saying the person who asked this question was, but my God, this was weird. This is so odd. Brad says, do you see an NXT wrestler winning a TNA championship or vice versa? If so, who do you think it would be? I could see that absolutely happening, but it would have to be a higher up NXT talent winning it. Like, they're not going to have one of the lower level people doing that. I could see Jordynne Grace winning an NXT title as her TNA deal is up as well, and then just carrying it over. What's going on with Jimmy Uso? Has he even been backstage? Not that I've heard of. Have you heard anything about when the AEW media deals could be announced? Nope. I have never said imminently. I've never said it's coming soon. They were deep into talks like a year and a half ago, though, about certain things, about PLEs, pay-per-views on HBO, all that good stuff. Yeah. But I don't know when it will get announced. What is Joe Hendry's contract status with TNA? He has a substantial amount of time. Is Tyrese Halliburton going to get in the ring? Doubt the Pacers would allow that, but he makes it seem that way. I mean, he is a big wrestling fan, and there's no way the Pacers allow him to do much of anything physical. Oh, man. Almost nothing physical. Any insight to what AEW's taping schedule would be if Shockwave ends up being a TV show and how it might affect AEW or how it may affect ROH? This is hypothetical. I would imagine ROH would go to their individualized tapings. and Shockwave would end up taping before Collision or Dynamite, and then another show before the other one. So, like, say you have Rampage before Collision, Shockwave before Dynamite, and then ROH gets its own tapings. With UFC running the Sphere, do you think we see WWE announcing a Sphere show in the future? I would be surprised if they didn't end up doing a Sphere show. I know that Tony Khan and AEW looked into it. But I have not heard about WWE running one. But, I mean, I think for, like, a Raw after Mania, that makes an incredible amount of sense. Like, why not do that? Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Man, again, under the weather for the last week and a half, I'm hoping things get better by the end of the week. I am ready to be over this, but I want to thank you guys so much. I'm going to also try something a little bit different where I'm going to make some individualized posts about some of the questions that you guys got answered today and sort of promote this show, garner some more eyeballs, so to speak. A reminder, I'm over on Discord all the time answering questions. Less so over the last week because I was sick, but by God, we're going to be back at it. Until next time, we're out.